Good evening and welcome. My name is Scroobius Pip and this is a public service announcement. The following episode you're about to listen to is a drunk cast. As ever with the drunk casts, we're getting kind of drunk. There will be some things that are quite offensive. There will be very silly things said. All of it, I assure you, is intended with goodwill and love and passion. But if you are easily offended, maybe skip these episodes. On with the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 497. End of year drunk cast, part 5. If you've not caught the rest, genuinely start at the beginning. We talk about a lot of really good stuff in this one. Genuinely, I think a classic drunk cast. It's the reason I held off from, you know, doing it in December, kind of half-baked. I knew it was a good one. It delivered. Honestly, I can't tell you which episode we said anything in. So I can't tell you specific ones to go and listen to. So just listen to the whole lot. This is where it goes downhill. Because as you will have heard at the end of the last one, the shots started to come out. Even I had a go on the shots. It gets messy. So apologies for what you're about to hear. Will it end in tears? It's a valid question. If you've been enjoying all of it, you know, you're welcome to throw some money in the kitty at patreon.com/ScroobiusPip. You can head over to speechdevelopmentrecords.com and buy merch. We've still got one or two Drunkcast t-shirts over there, I think, from way back when. And yeah, twitch.tv/ScroobiusPipyo is where I'll probably be answering for the sins of this Drunkcast. So come and sling in any questions or condemnations that you wish over there. Let's get into it. Again, I'm apologising a lot, but I'm so sorry for what you're about to hear. Will it end in tears? It's part 5 of the End of Year Drunk Cast with Christopher Glasson and Stuart Whiffin. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. We're going right into episode 5 after a big reveal.
Chipping down there, didn't he?
In between episodes, I dropped a bombshell that we're not going to be talking about.
Scroobus is all round.
Yeah. Oh, let's have Scroobus. Also, I'll pick your mum up.
Right, you going in the glasses you've got?
Mm-hmm. No, right, I've got so, beer in here.
When were you at your most pervious? The reason I ask this is I definitely watch more porn than I've ever watched at the moment.
Oh, wow.
But that's probably because it's more readily available, right? As a teenager, I had a few videos that I'd got from fucking Germany. Is it all right in there?
Yeah, yeah. I think your problem, Pip, was that you weren't making enough effort.
Yeah, maybe.
I should point out as well, Pip.
If anything, I had too much.
Are we getting the Scroobiuses all round now? We're all proper there. Yeah. What was your most pervious? Because people talk about pervy old man, for example.
I think there's a difference between...
You motioned towards me, then.
I did motion towards you. But pervy old man is a thing, but then arguably horny teenager is the peak of perviness. And it's been making me wonder, what is the peak of perviness? Horniness, perviness, I don't know how you want to...
When you said you whacked one off in that office that time...
Yeah.
Your old man was there.
His old man wasn't there, or it was his old man's office.
No, my dad was... Well, all my dad was doing, God rest his soul, was watching.
There's so much to unpack in that statement right there.
Job's a job.
Listen, I was doing the books. Also, I was bad at maths.
I think this is going to be a shorter episode because there's some messages going on.
I put his coffee on his desk.
And he asked for some milk. One lump or two.
About your appraisal, son.
When were you at your most perviest? Chris, I assume it was mid-20s for you.
Do you know what? I think that... Like anything, define perv.
Yeah. Is it the wanking years or the shagging on bin bags years?
As R. Kelly once said, define teenage.
Jesus.
I personally think pervy is, it depends because pervy thoughts or pervy actions? Because, you know, the brain is a weird thing that will...
Essentially, you're saying when did you want to spaff the most?
I guess you're horniest.
But for me it's different because I think sexual deviancy or perversion or kink,
keep going,
they're so different. It's also dependent on when you're acting on it. So when you're a kid, like I think I had simpler sexual thoughts as
can't
a child.
Wait for this sentence to round up.
No, honestly, like as a child, I remember a fantasy as like. At senior school, where I was in the big main hall, and one of the girls that I coveted thought was hot. She came in and she was wearing her school uniform, which was weird as a kid was sexy. Jesus Christ! But I was 14 at the time, 15. I remember having sex with her in the theatre and that being a really hot thought. It was like crazy. Stop filming.
I'm just going to delete that video.
Stop filming. which then, as you're younger, you have these thoughts of like sexual fantasies of like mm-hmm. you're there with a person, you're just having sex. I think at some point finish that sentence, someone. Mm-hmm. You've both got speech problems.
Fetishize.
Pip beat you to it, and he's got a stutter, and you've only got a lisp. So it was harder for him to say, and he's still beating you.
Fetishize.
Things, which is normal. We all do it. But yeah, as a kid, just sex. Good old fashioned banging the life out of someone. But as you get older. You find your fetish and then maybe that makes you more pervy. But I think when I was more at my most pervy, I was with women who were at their most pervy,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's like, yeah, great. So I think like for me would be when was my most horniest and those needs weren't being met and that would be 18. Jesus Christ, I was not getting any...
I don't know if we even need to ask Stu, the slightest
whiff.
Never even had sex with music on. He has sex in complete silence. So I don't think he's got the perviness.
Right. Yeah, but like, do you know what? I'm going to address this.
Mm-hmm.
You're really pervy, right? You like French stuff.
Trivian. Like... I did have signs when me and my mate drove to Paris. We had signs that we'd hold up at the window. We had "Suce moi," which was "suck me."
that's bad.
A "Montre-moi le chat," which was "get your cat out."
Get your cat.
I'm sorry, we didn't
know what pussy was.
That's beautiful. Sorry, say that sentence again.
"Montre-moi le chat."
Montre-moi le chat.
But where was I going with this?
No idea, mate. Fucking animal. We've done another episode to go through the socials.
So I've got
a few. The first one is from Aaron Shrimpton, who I did a short film with recently. I did a short film with this year.
Do you know what, Aaron? Hold on. If you're even listening now, I'm so sorry. I've missed like two calls. Rude. I just had a basement collapse and a gas leak. But Aaron Shrimpton, which will make him... Aaron Shrimpton.
Sorry. I said that
a
on
really,
my bloody...
really, really great filmmaker.
I said that on my films of the year the other year. I've known Aaron for ages. It's because I've got a cousin Aaron who's Aaron rather than Aaron. Anyway, dear Pip and Hardcore Listing crew, Happy New Year. Please ask Chris his top tips for penis regrowth. Ask him for a friend. When will Stu let him discuss his top five Warhammer figurines? Good luck tonight and the rest of your hangover week.
Good, really good questions.
Because we've done some little Warhammer recently,
you know,
and
what?
I proper
weirdly,
loved it.
Weirdly, Aaron, there's a few people on my I'll laugh really hard at list, mm-hmm. right? Two of them are here, right? Stu and
let's
and
call
Pip.
It with, with, rather than at.
I'm sorry. Man.
Yeah, with better.
Mark Irvine's on there.
Yep.
Aaron's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma Stardard, Carla.
Shout out to Stoddard.
Really, very funny. Very, very fucking funny. Cat Harrop is fucking funny as shit.
There's a big list.
anyway, these people make me laugh the hardest.
You don't laugh with.
Yeah.
But Aaron, he's definitely there. And but one day, what makes Aaron really funny and alienate himself as well, Aaron will risk a joke that other people won't go into that territory. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the payoff when it's funny,
you've got to respect it.
Honestly, mate, Aaron is the most interesting person I think any of us know. And he's really creative and he's produced loads of good stuff.
I was buzzing to work with him on a short this year. And I was even more surprised when he made a point of telling me he didn't recommend me at all.
No.
I thought, I saw he was working. Fucking I thought, oh, Aaron, I must have given me a shout. That's all good. No. But it came completely organically.
Respect for him for being honest.
But he's dope. He's wicked.
He made a Warhammer joke at a point when I think one of the worst things that you can feel as a human being is shame. Mm-hmm. I think shame will lead to suicide or really bad. Great film. Great film. Really sexy. He's got a massive cock in that, hasn't he? Has he had a circumcision in that or not? No. Or is it just naturally that big? Fuck's sake.
I went to see that in the cinema with a platonic female friend who had a partner. And 5 minutes in, Fassbender is flopping his wang about.
Yeah.
And it was fucking glorious. Anyway, onto the question.
What a perfect cock.
A 76 spoken says, sorry, I couldn't make it, lads. Shout out to his podcast, Words in Chalk.
Well, he's really good at spoken word. He's a good producer.
Well, Words in Chalk is fantastic. Well, him and his mate, I can't remember his name now, Nathan. Jake, that's it, who knows you as well.
No, he don't. He does.
Really good podcast. I recommend it.
Jake's a really funny guy who, when I was going through a rough time at work, I worked with Jake. What a nice poet. Do you ever see a Tim at work? When you just think he's watching everyone around him thinking, what a bunch of plebs.
You see Tim's everywhere.
Yeah.
Nessie? Spit What's her name? What's her name? She's in a lot of them.
Ness Myers,
probably. Let me click on
Oh, we got a sign.
No, it's Vanessa Ellis.
Yeah, Ness.
Worst and best films for the next secret cinema. My choice would be Irreversible. Anyone got any suggestions?
I'll go The Road. The Road.
The Road. Warriors would be a good one, right? Have they done Warriors?
No.
Everyone dressing up as different.
Amazing.
Games that'd be fucking great. Be,
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Are you excited about the new one?
No. I went to the cinema last night and I see the poster for it and I just thought 10 years ago, you look like a pensioner as Han Solo. I don't want to see Indiana Jones.
But it's directed by James Mangold, who I think is fantastic. Who did Logan
whether or not he invented gloves you wash up in, I don't think you should go to films. Okay, I think we can all agree. I love Harrison Ford. I thought Blade Runner 2099 was awesome. And make all the films you want. I'll still buy them. But by the way, Nessa. Mm-hmm. I'll just dial it back. Here's a little bit of hype. I went into my loft and found...
No.
I found...
Oh, it, no.
I found... I don't know how many.
I'm genuinely fucking worried.
No, it's not a Bundy story.
There's so many fucking minefields that you could just tread on something here.
I went in my loft and I found...
I wish I found my old porn collection? Just to look at all top five best wanks. Properly go
I've
into
I've got a
it.
Decent amount of my old video pornos in me in the spare room.
What, VHS?
Under the bed that you're going to be sleeping on tonight, Chris.
Oh, don't say...
You're going to have a little looky look. I've not got a video player, so...
Talking about showing the rabbit to the fox.
Straight to the
eye. I've got a lot of porn stored in my fiancé's mum's loft at the moment, but only like classic.
We're not kink shaming this podcast, Chris.
Just classic porn. Just like the ones you can't let go of.
Classics,
I've got some
Dutch porn videos under that bed.
Anyway, I found a quantity of the first CDs that you ever made with me.
Yes, we
that
talked about
this. Intros and outros that no one will have of you. Yeah, they're Redshift.
Mysterious Regrets.
Yeah, it has.
Someone hit me up. I can't remember who it was. It's someone I'm really into.
Do you not put your phone on my drink, you fucking cheeky cunt?
Yeah, just quite rude. It's someone I really respect and I'm a big fan of, an actor or something, hit me up recently and said, "Oh, Mr. Otis
Leo
Regrets.
DiCaprio."
No, I can't remember who it is, but they said jokes. Mr. Otis Regrets is one of my favourites. And that was only out on a Redshift CD.
So I've got a number
so
of them.
I was buzzing. Like when they said that, I was like, oh, fuck, that is a deep cut. Like,
so this
no
is
commercial
like,
breaks is a deep cut.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mr. Otis
this
Regrets
is
a
beyond, this is
deep cut.
This is like insane. That was a great face that you just pulled. This is like your first outing. As when you made No Commercial Regrets, we produced this to do the promo for that, right? So I found a number of them and we're going to sign them. If you want, we'll fling them.
Yeah.
But I said to Ness Ellis, we'll give a few to their winners of their competition.
Should we give some away
100%.
To people who listen this far into the Drunk Cast?
Oh my God.
So anyone who reaches out.
Yeah, 100%.
Until they're gone, anyone who reaches out and wants one of these rare Redshift Scroobius Pip CDs.
Message us. I want to hear the password. Afghanistan, Banana Stand.
And message on the Redshift Instagram.
Oh, shit.
So you have to log in again.
So rare.
So you have to log in again.
I'll tell you what, the
send
the
a
chances.
DM to the Redshift Instagram and then you might get a copy.
Yeah, the chances of you getting that copy are fucking rare. But that CD is rare as fuck, right?
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So right. Kootenay Dan has messaged saying the highlights and lowlights of each of your 2022s. I think we've kind of discussed
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good question, though.
Sid Zod said, sweet, it's been a while. Uncle J-Mo said, are you releasing new music soon? Any plans to gig in my town? And then explain that that's obviously a joke. Mm. Shallow Grave Dave, which alternate reality from Everything Everywhere All at Once would you live in? Have you all watched
What's
Everything Everywhere All at
question.
Once?
Well, that was a movie I wanted to speak to.
It's astounding.
Actually, bizarrely, that was
Stew,
at the top
you
of
watched
my
it?
Movie
no.
list. Stew, it's so
honestly,
good.
Honestly, it's astounding. I was really excited. I wanted Chris to watch it immediately because I got as soon as it came out on VOD, I sat B down and we watched it because she's doing a script writing thing and is smashing it in that world. And I think it's one of the most inspirational things for anyone who's a script writer because it really shows you there's
you
no
can
rules.
Do anything.
You
there's
can do
no
anything
rules.
You want.
I don't mean to be first. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when we had the blood thing. But I think I saw that at the cinema.
I did. I saw it at the
no,
cinema
I didn't.
And then
I
on
actually,
VOD.
Now I'm lying just to massage my own ego.
So that I've actually given three options. The No Life Googly Eyes Rocks, the Rakakuni or Hot Dog Fingers. Stu would go for Hot Dog Fingers.
Of course he would, because he wants to swallow them. He can always eat.
Chris would go for Rakakuni and I'd go for the Googly Eyes Rocks.
What's Raka what? Rakakuni?
A Rakakuni.
What's that mean?
It's like a Ratatouille, but it's. I don't want to give any spoilers.
I'm
fucking
so
Chris
confused.
Hasn't seen this film. On to the next one. Hashtag a Velociraptor. If you started a band, what would your name be? Serious Problem. Lardass was my first band or Antipenultimate.
Oh my God.
Chris, what would you name your band?
Oh my God. I have found some fucking mad shit. So I found our CDs, right? I found lyrics written.
Oh, there's some troubling ones.
I'm not even repeating them.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I found lyrics written by you and me when we were fucking 17.
You sent me some of these and I had to read a page or two in before. I recognised my handwriting, but a page or two in before I had any memory of writing this. Because one of them was just a fucked up story about Sooty and Sweep and fucking them up and doing horrible things.
Mate,
honestly. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah. let's talk about this. What Muppet would you fuck? That's what you was going to say, right?
I was talking to cunt about how the fact that in the 80s and 90s, puppets were massive and they're not anymore.
Yeah. TVs have got much bigger.
Sooty was an absolute...
If anyone heard that, I was leaning my phone on Chris's glass again.
Sooty had nothing to say. He didn't talk.
Sweepy is much better than Sooty.
Yes, Sweepy was a little bit anarchic.
Fuck Sooty.
Fucking hell. Whoa. We've done motorbikes.
Have you ever looked at a puppet and just gone...
I'm going to go and have a wee. Hang on.
Yeah, loads. Ooh. But Sweep's the best.
No. Loads. Ooh.
Sweep's the best.
Rep me!
Oh, man. I was absolutely treated to you doing that then. Fucking hell. Roland.
Rowling. Oh, right. Right.
So who's your... Right, okay. Pip's having a piss.
Yeah.
I think Sweep is the best puppy I've ever invented, but...
Sweep was an angry cunt.
He was
that
brilliant.
Love fucking about.
Sweep
was a square. Sue was a virgin. And like,
no, that's not how they cast.
Sweep never had a go on Sue. Sweep was like, he tried to get a digit in there, and she told him to jog on.
He said no.
Like, yeah, Sweep was a toe rag.
Sweep was a sweet. You know what a sweep was? A lovable toe rag.
Yeah.
Sweep was more punk than Sid Vicious. I don't care what anyone says.
No,
I love you to the death about that.
No, I would
I love
agree.
You to the death.
There's
on
nothing
that.
More punk rock than Sweep. Sweep is the best.
The second I just walked out this door and I left the door open briefly, the second I got my willy out, and bearing in mind we're at the end of Stu's garden with his family in there, just the loudest noise went... Oh, great. That's going to attract everyone's attention to my little Willy having a little wee wee. But I was
actually
laughing my ass off.
Zig and Zag
were
aggy.
They were punk rock. They were quite
punk
rock.
Zig and Zag were punk rock.
They were
Emu
very
was
chaotic.
Punk rock.
Yeah.
Emu, oh my God, was punk rock also in that era where now Emu probably would get pulled into Operation Yew Tree.
Yeah.
Rod O had issues.
What? It weren't Rod O's fault, mate. It was the fucking parrot. It was that parrot with a long...
Was Blobby anarchic or was he just a cunt?
No, I'm with
a little bit
Blobby.
From column A, a little bit from column B.
Agreed. That Venn diagram...
Are we on to the next?
Do you reckon if he come at you and you hit him, do you reckon you'd knock over Blobby?
I'd open him up like a bag of Quavers, mate.
Right, I got a question
that
from
fucking pink piece of shit.
Yeah, I tell you what's one of the best pictures of the year is a self-esteem who we talked about earlier went on the big breakfast, which came back.
Yeah,
and Mr. Blobby came out as a surprise, and there's a couple of photos of just their absolute excitement at Blobby turning
shit.
Up. It's gold. It's a meme.
Fucking good is self. Sorry,
fantastic. Yeah. Aggie P. Bone has asked, did they watch Glass Onion and what did they think? And we're at part five of the Drunk Cast. It ain't the time for that type of question.
I haven't watched part two.
So I haven't seen Glass Onion, but I heard someone once say that and didn't understand it. I said Glass Onion, I didn't understand it. And they said, look, basically, it's a thing that is people will read into it. More complicated than what it is.
Well, that's
and
what
do you know
I think.
What?
How much money would I have to
it?
Have in my wallet for you eating an onion right now?
That's the real question. That's the real quiz.
I'm going to throw
the real quiz.
Shoe
that's
over
the real quiz.
I'm going to throw my shoe over that.
Shoe over my ass.
That's the real quiz. How much money would it take for you to eat an onion now?
So I've done
life.
That.
All life. All life.
So I've done that. I've done both of those things.
No, as an apple, a whole onion, how much right now to eat it?
As an apple? It's just the craziest sentence.
No, eat it like an apple.
As an apple?
£1,000. I'd do it for £1,000.
£1,000? I didn't know you were near a 50 quid.
Yeah, £1,000 don't come for free. So basically, I've done it before, and I've eaten like a third of it. Have you eaten a third of an apple?
Yeah, loads. No, I've eaten a whole apple plenty of times.
Have you eaten a third of an onion?
49, mate.
A third of an onion? A third of an onion will stay with you for about a week on your tongue.
That is science.
No matter what you do, you will taste onion for a long time.
Right. Shall we move on to the next question?
So I can't be bothered.
I hope that answers your question.
He said he can't be bothered. This
no, for £1,000. I'll do it for £1,000.
But not for
so,
a movie.
Wonderlust. No. Talk about what's happening in the WWE. That's not going to be of interest to
Wonderlust.
You guys.
I thought that was the Toni Collette thing. That's great.
Yeah, it was good. Ben Cottingham, what's the biggest animal you think you could take in a fight? No doubt Chris's black belt will come into play.
Yeah, it will do, because I'll use it to strangle a goddamn grizzly. Can you imagine me just strangling that baby out, like look, jabbing a heart, like, and layer? If but you, I'm not wearing such a sexy setup because, well, I can't pull it off.
If you ever see me fighting in the forest with a grizzly bear, help the bear. That's a quote.
What's left in that bottle of gin?
Not a lot.
Have we got enough to fill up and do another one if you have to?
We're not doing another episode.
Chill. How are we done?
We've got chucking 30 minutes left on this one at least. So yeah, I'll top you both up.
Oh, do you know what? I can go for ages. Don't fucking put ice in my glass straight out of your hand and you just wiped it with.
Don't put baby in a corner.
How about fuck off, pair of you? Next question. You've not answered that, but let's move on.
This
is a good one
thing.
From South Coast David. Based on the Richard Herring guest appearance, human centipede, where would we all be?
I'll be the lucky Pierre.
Right, sorry, no, look, both good questions. Back to an animal. What animal can you take down? They're fucking powerful animals. And how long are we talking? Because you stop putting ice in my fucking drink, mate?
You put ice in there, but no booze.
I'm putting the booze in now, lads. Is there alcohol in that? There is now.
Oh.
I beat the fuck out of Finley all the time.
No, you don't. Finley is the strongest dog in the planet.
Regularly, genuinely, B cracks up at this.
I tell you what,
Finley will start to kick off and I'll go, you think you can take me? And then I'll wrestle him and I'll beat the fuck out
of him. I tell you what, Shrew. The reality is, Pip has had no fights in his life. B would, B also, and Finley. Fucking hell, that was strong.
Yeah. I'd not put the Pepsi in. I know, Chris. You've got to be ahead of yourself.
I know Finley would fucking end you. Finley is like a date Stuart with those front teeth. Look at that.
He's not got the balance. He's like Ratatouille.
Oh, Finley would fucking end all of us.
Are you answering this question or not? Why are we talking about Finley?
No, you couldn't take it. I reckon you could take on, like, maybe a... what's a small feline? Not a cat, but one up. Mountain lion, you would be, like, legendary.
See, I wouldn't want to go for, like, a feline. I'd want to go... I reckon the biggest would be Rottweiler. And I want to grapple a Rottweiler.
I don't know if you could take a Rottweiler.
No, it's tight.
It is tight.
But like, I've got a bit of weight.
You've got some muscle there.
And I think like I could choke out a Rottweiler.
I don't think their teeth are deep enough to get through that. All the fat.
Lard.
How do you get through that?
Lard.
Flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's gotta be flesh.
I think I could. Yeah, I want to go for a large dog. Anything smaller than that, a cat, I'll just like could lever it over a fucking fence, like a badger.
I'll lever you over a fence, you cunt.
I'd lever my cock into it like a motorbike.
So where are we on a human centipede? Who's at the front? Who's in the middle? And who's at the back?
What? The three of us.
Yeah, the three of us.
Well, is there only three of us?
There's three of us.
That's not even a centipede, technically.
Look, we're doing it in a minute. As soon as we press stop, we're doing it. So make your choices now.
I'm definitely going front. I'll kill you. Wicked. For
the front. Who would you want up, you know?
I don't give it. I honestly.
No, it's not. It's play the game.
Listen.
No, I play the game. It's not up you. It's eating your shit, isn't it? So front is a good choice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cool.
What human centipede are you playing, you dirty boy? She's begging to go out the back, so fucking fill yourself up, son.
Oh, God, Shoe, that is... That you are
so... Right, whose whoopsie have you got in your gob?
Listen, no. No,
no,
Shoe,
no, it's poo.
No, you got your...
No, 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 no.
Right, you two can't figure out, so I'm going to the front.
No, I said front first.
It's my podcast.
There's no way I'm going anywhere in that end chat. To be honest with you...
Basically, here's where it is, right? Your podcast career started with the drunk cast, so I go at the front. And then it's just an argument of which of you pulls the most weight on Hardcore Listen. Who's eating shit and who's not? No, you both eat. One of you's eating my shit, but it's my shit.
Man, that's a fucking
I reckon I would, even if I lipsed onto your arsehole, I'm just going to eat you straight up like an hors d'oeuvre, mate.
Big
so
if.
you can think that you're all right. But
big if.
There's no way in reality I'm being attached nah. on any form of that. I will fucking die before someone. Do you know what?
I love... we've got our answer. Chill.
No.
Another question from Vanessa. No. If you could swap bodies with anyone, who would it be and what would you do?
Oh, so cool. I would be Adolf Hitler and I would kill myself. Because
Stu, let's because move on wasn't, from this
because
fucking
wasn't World War II a terrible Yawn thing?
Fest. I like Lenny Kravitz's body.
Why is that?
I just think it's sexy.
Yeah.
I like Aquaman's
body. I'll be honest
body.
With you, if I was Zoe Kravitz, I'd never leave the house.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought you can either pick the same gender or pick someone incredibly
no,
sexy
fuck that.
From the opposite
I'm not being
gender
a
and
guy.
Just enjoy
I'd
yourself.
I'd 100% be a female.
Yeah, but if you be a sexy guy like Lenny or anyone else who's really sexy,
nah,
then you can maybe enjoy the a lot more females.
No, I actually personally think
don't
that,
like the way I said
I'd,
females.
I'd
that's,
rather,
that sounded
I'd rather
incel.
Be any female who it feels happy enough to explore multiple orgasms than any man on the planet. Because if you've seen, you know, multiple orgasms are great.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
Can confirm.
Stu, where are you going?
I'd swap with Richard Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go out as Kraftwerk and be a Kraftwerk tribute act.
I'm just going to.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm just going to leave that alone. Yeah. Other than say Stephen Hawkins, not Richard Hawkins. I don't know who Richard Hawkins is.
Not say Richard.
I'm just going to leave that alone and say who the fuck is Richard Hawkins. But
I love the fact that you applauded Chris.
This is the drunkest I've been on a drunk cast.
Oh, well, crazy
Richard
kid.
Hawkins.
isn't Richard Hawkins the?
I don't know.
No, he's the evolution dude, lizard people person.
Nope.
That's Dawkins.
I don't think Dawkins that
he didn't
does
invent
much about
it.
The lizard
anyway,
people,
right?
Okay,
I'm just making up.
Are you thinking of the goalie?
Fucking a windshield.
Who's the goalie?
Place,
who's the goalie who went a bit?
Oh, you're talking about when I'm Wogan. David Icke.
Oh, that's
fuck.
Who you're thinking
that
of.
That was who I was thinking of.
I'm skipping a few because there's some.
No,
all right. Thoughts on Vince coming back to WWE? Kevin, who would be your ideal picks to play Stu and Chris in Drunk Cast the movie?
Putman.
Thompson.
Kevin TUK 76. Thompson.
I would say for me, it'd be James McAvoy.
Play you.
Yeah, obviously, because he's handsome, intelligent, and also he dressed as Mr. Tumnus. And whenever we talk about weird, not weird, but sexual fantasies where I'm half person, half animal, Molly always goes, bang me as Mr. Tumnus. I just think, do you know what I think about that?
And that's you said Molly's going to listen brilliant. To this, right?
Yeah. She'll be all right with that. She'll own that. I think that's brilliant. Right? If you were half person, half animal.
Great
anyway,
show.
What's the next question?
So me and Ian, my brother, regularly send pictures of the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond, Robert, laughing at how much he looks like Stu. So I'd
it's
pick
insane.
It is insane.
So I'd pick Brad Garrett to play Stu in the Hollywood version.
Oh, God.
He's very enjoyable.
The amount of people that have fucking turned up with a brush and gone, either, are you that bloke? Or do you watch The Walking Dead? You see Negan?
That's the other one.
Like that.
That's the one. I think they come up talking about Brad and you go, no.
Negan, mate.
No, it's Negan, mate. It's Negan.
Essentially, someone to play me.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Brad
yeah, yeah.
Garrett.
You'd be more Brad. In Walking Dead, you would show up as Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
I don't think you're a Negan.
No, I ain't dining,
you know
I ain't
mean?
Dining out on that. No, like, it's a lose-lose anyway.
Yeah.
Who was the lad? There was a series recently who had another actor in who looks like Stu. It was.
If someone had
to
play me,
to
I'd go James Corden.
Like
someone who essentially
diarrhea.
Thinks they're funny, but no one likes.
It's really good. On to the next one. That was the body weight in food. We've done that one. Where is a place you haven't visited that you would love to one day? Or what is something you'd learn to do, how you'd love to learn how to do? I'd love to go to Iceland.
You'd love to learn how to go to Iceland.
No, where is somewhere you would go that
your
you have? Where is
your
something
mum knows.
You haven't visited that you'd love to visit? I'd love to visit Iceland. When I started my music career, I had the choice between buying the 1987 space cruiser I toured the country in, or getting this cheap cruise to Iceland.
This is so weird you're saying this, Deb. It's so weird you're saying this, because this year I turned 50. Uh-huh. And this is the
no,
year.
You haven't turned 50 yet, right?
No,
don't count it down. Are we going to do some really cool things for your 50?
Yeah, 100%.
By the way? Because I am fucking balls in. I have phoned up Craig. He is fucking
I'm
going
to have a
quiet available, mate. Well, Craig's coming, mate.
Mate, I'm shaving my head and putting a little a line down the middle.
Oh my
I'm
god!
I'm going Alien Ant Farm for your birthday.
Alien Ant Farm.
It would appear, and he's okay.
Imagine. Oh shit! Sorry. Anyway.
So yeah, I'd want to go Iceland, and for something I'd love to learn, I'd love to do. this is so obvious to anyone who really knows me. And something you would love to learn how to do.
This better not be sign language.
Well, if you really know me, you'll know what I'm going to do.
You know what this answer is.
If you've been on a Twitch, if you've watched my boring Twitch cast where I play games, you'll really understand.
Guys, it's a backflip.
Oh, mate. No, actually, weirdly.
It would be fucking amazing to do a backflip.
I feel so bad for cutting you off now.
Imagine how fucking great it'd be to do a backflip. I'd love to learn how to do a backflip.
I got so close to it.
Oh,
me and Tom.
He's right.
One of Tom's kids was doing a gymnastics class, and Tom said, oh, they do adults classes. And me and Tom were going to start going to the adults gymnastics classes to learn to do a backflip.
Yeah, but you're never going to.
I reckon we could.
You're a lanky shriek of piss. You can. Oh, right. Oh, so many things to talk about. Mark's kid, Jacob, can backflip the shit out of anything. This lad, he's not even doing it because he's watching something. The guy's jumping around the house.
He's doing them for fun.
I can never do a backflip. I was sorry, I'm hiccuping. I'm so sorry.
I've heard that Jacob backflips into every meal.
My biggest problem is I could always face things head on.
Don't try and unpack this.
My biggest problem
We've
is...
We've not got time to get into your biggest problem, Chris.
My biggest problem is I can kick and punch my way out of anything. I wish I could backflip.
I don't know how we're getting home, Chris. That's your biggest problem right now.
What was the question?
Well, where would you like to go, or what would you like to learn to do? Stu would like to learn piano. Right, wicked. And go to Iceland. Awesome.
I've been to Iceland. It's one of the best places I've ever been, if not the best place I've ever been in the world.
Where do you want to go for your 50th?
Canada.
Okay.
I'm not going there,
I
mate.
Know Vancouver really well. Let's go Vancouver.
I don't want to go to a sports shop and walk 3 miles with kettlebells. I want to go to the Rockies and fuck a bear. Wrestle a bear.
And or see what the bear's up for.
Either or.
Chris.
What?
Where would you like to go? What would you like to learn to do?
I want
to
go to the toilet.
No, somewhere you've never been. You've been to the toilet. I know you.
I really need to go.
There's one thing I know about you is that you've been to the toilet.
If I could go anywhere, where would I go?
I think you better pee-pee.
No, I'll move on to the next question.
Favelas.
Then.
I'd like to go to the favelas in Brazil.
Dave the tofu-eating wokerati is asking, could you go vegan? Now, we know Chris doesn't need to answer that because he can't. Because he keeps saying, I've gone vegan, but then at the weekends I eat meat and cheese. Could you go vegan? Have you been vegan before? You've been veggie, right?
I was veggie for 8 years.
Yeah.
Vegan.
I'd struggle. I know I'd struggle. I'm a big believer. I support veganism completely. I think it's fucking amazing. I don't believe the whole world needs to go vegan. I think the problem is the meat industry, not meat. I think it's quite natural to eat meat. I think the way we do the meat industry is fucking horrific. So I've personally cut down to I have meat at the most once a week. If everyone cut down to once a week, the meat industry would fuck off and we'd have more natural.
It's a weird one. Like, my wife, she's been vegan for a couple of years now. And so I eat a hell of a lot less meat than I've ever eaten. And I no longer drink cow's milk. I won't drink that anymore. I watched a documentary that freaked the fuck out of me.
I'm the same on that, but I never really drunk milk.
But I didn't drink a lot of milk anyway.
Yeah, it was easy.
I drink black coffee. Like, if I have a cup of tea, it's all my milk.
There's a few things like that. I don't drink tea or coffee. So there's a few things like that I've been able to cut out easily, but I don't kind of count it as a win.
No,
because like, I didn't drink it anyway.
Yeah, Chris was all over nut milk as long as I've known him. Oh. Like,
it's been all over my nuts for years. we're not going to get into your veganism because it makes me really angry. Or shall we move on from that one?
Yes.
So, next question. Who would be your ideal drinking companions for an afternoon session apart from each other? That apart from each other was key because genuinely, this is my ideal drinking companions.
Exactly, ideal drinks.
Carol Spicer.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Stu. There's some people I walk Finley with who are who work for a dog walking company. A girl called Emma, whose surname is not, but it's a double barrel surname. So I think she's got that from marriage. Who I was out with the other day and they brought their mate and they were like, "Do you know Jeremy Castle?"
Right.
And I was like, "No, but I know of him." And this is a conversation that we should be having off podcast, really. But I was like, the girl who I walk the, like, I go for dog walks because I found this dog walking thing that happens at 10 a.m. and there's like 12 dogs. And I go along because I'm like, Finley can walk with 12 dogs. It's hugely exciting. And then the girl, Emma, who's, we were on this dog walk for 10, 15 minutes. And she said, "You used to work at HMV?" Like, yeah, and we worked together. I'd forgotten. As soon as she said it, I was like, "Oh, I remember you." But yeah, this other, her best mate was out the other day and was like, "Hey, do you know Jeremy Castle?" And knows all of that crowd.
And so that's obviously Mr. Gels, who's in the cunts.
Yep.
Like,
Castle.
With Castle.
And I don't know him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've distracted us there. A drinking companions.
Oh, do you know
fucking
what?
Fucking tough
what?
One. I love Shane McGowan, but I find that documentary about him was so sad because where he is now is so depressing. So he wouldn't be on there.
I don't think Shane would want to drink with you, though.
I've got an interesting...
Too sexy.
No, you're too straight for him. I think he'd find you massively boring.
Hang on, Chris. Stu's got an interesting take on this.
Yeah, not interesting.
No, go on, mate.
I've read A Drink with Shane McGowan, his book, because I'm a big fan of the Pogues.
Can't wait.
Audio book.
And he's... He's not that nice.
No.
That came across
at points in the documentary.
And
Johnny Depp in the documentary, I think, didn't come across great.
You know, there's so many things he says in that where he just doesn't sit right with me. And yeah, but he did also find me when I was...
Wankered.
Spiked.
Yeah.
And looked after me.
Yeah. That's a story on a previous drunk cast. Yeah. To get back to that.
Yeah. But yeah, like, if I had to pick someone that I'd love to get fucking pissed with and just have a right laugh, it sounds really ridiculous, but I'm going to go Glasson.
No.
Like,
what?
Us excluded. We've got to say.
Oh, okay. Well, in which case, then I will say cunt. Because he's my oldest friend.
We had a lovely episode, you, me and cunt, just getting a bit wankered
and
pissing about for my birthday party.
That's the name of my memoirs. I'm not talking about women, by the way.
Chris, who would your be? Who would be your ideal drinking?
What? Partner? I don't know. I don't do that with.
Yeah, I think
it's. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird fantasy because I think there's an intimacy. Dude,
you can think of anyone else.
I'm just going to. I'm going to say
stop
now.
Stop touching
right?
me.
I'm going to say right now.
Yeah.
I'm having the best time.
Yeah. So
time.
Am I. So
it's
am
time.
I.
How long has it been?
You're going to cut your foot.
Gang bang.
But Chris, how long has it been? Right, even when we done a live show.
Yeah.
It was a bit wonky, wasn't it? In places.
I think.
Not the actual gig itself, but the day. Like we all had stuff going on. We're having the best time.
I think
I've not had a. I had one pint last year. I've not been drunk in.
Yeah, but you're well boring. That's what you do. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's exciting. Yeah. You're honestly, Pip.
I'm on
not...
your side. I get you. I agree. That's my point. Time.
You're not much better.
No, Pip, I know.
Really. Honestly.
Who would your ideal drinking painful. Partner be? Is Chris going to go, me when I was 18?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Craig. Because you know what? The me when I was 18 would be trying to live up to the me that I was now, which would be trying to live up to the me that I was 36,
Stu,
42.
Stu, before you go for a wee, have you seen my T-shirt?
Do you know what? I looked at it earlier and I was like, he's got a Misfits T-shirt. Whose are the eyes?
It's Buscemi.
But it's so
the Misfits
so
classic face, but we're
confusing.
Buscemi. She's got Steve Buscemi eyes. It's Buscemi's eyes in there.
So fucking dark. Do you know what? About I think it might have been episode one
or
two.
You that's why I mentioned
kept looking
it.
At it, and I was like, "Who's
no,
those eyes?"
Me out, mate.
Because every time I see you post something when you're in a t-shirt, you've obviously had a t-shirt made by someone.
Well, no, it's Meth. No, it's yeah. normally. Meth Syndicate, who's
shout
an amazing
out.
T-shirt
because
guy.
Like,
he makes the craziest.
Your
shit.
Smith's T-shirt fucking blew my mind, mm-hmm. and like, and then mm-hmm. I just looked at that and I was like, he's got a Misfits T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Who's those eyes? And I kept looking at it and I was like, is that Yoda? Like, who's those eyes?
Buscemi eyes in my head. It's the first
so
time
good.
I've worn it. I only arrived yesterday, love and it. I saw you looking at it a few times. That's the only reason.
Freak me out. I'm gonna have a little wee wee.
Wig me out as well.
So, have you got a drinking companion, or shall I move on to the next question?
No, stop being so quick.
Okay.
Oh, Stu, just I think part of Stu's bell end touched my butt cheek there.
Okie doke.
Ultimate drinking partner that are not my mates. Here we go. Fucking anyone, man, because I think that's the great thing about alcohol.
Mm.
Alcohol wouldn't be as bloody brilliant a drug if it didn't make if it wasn't such a social lubricant. I think sometimes when we talk about
who
things,
would be your dream though, man, who fascinates you of because that's what I'm taking it as, who would you like to have an all restrictions are taken off, all breaks are removed conversation with? For some reason I was thinking of like your Jason Momoa and people like that, but it's because they're a bit of a party person. I don't think those people would be my number one.
I'd have a drink with someone like Madonna, to be honest with you.
That'd be fascinating.
How mental would that be? Like,
yeah,
to
what
have,
a life.
Have a drink. I'm not.
What a life. Like, I love Madonna.
Exactly. Like, imagine. I think it's almost unimaginable Madonna's life.
Mm.
I think it's almost
a lot of people, and you won't know this because you aren't a socialist, but a lot of people rally against Madonna recently because she posts loads of like racy and controversial stuff.
Yeah.
And people, I've seen numerous people say, oh, she's had so much plastic surgery. She looks like an alien. And I read that and go, when did you stop wanting to be an alien? Aliens are cool as fuck. I love that she looks like an alien. It's like, how is she looks like an alien a fucking insult in this day and age?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I think firstly...
And Julia Garner is playing Madonna in the film of Madonna.
Also,
that's
I
the
love
girl
Julia
from
Garner.
From Ozark.
Yeah,
such good casting. I'm buzzing for that.
I don't know. Like, I love your perspective on that response. The reality is that these people who met super fame, and some of them are infamous. What I'd just say to everyone who wants to sit back and just absolutely batter anyone, mm-hmm. even MPs that we really
I'll batter
dislike,
you in a minute.
I will batter your cock and gobble it down with a knife. She's doing that face again, and I love it every time.
With a half portion of chips.
Your life. I promise you,
your life
is just as fucking fucked as anyone in the media's.
What's the best thing to have with chips?
With chips,
yeah.
For me, peri peri powder, and in fact,
you can
when
have a sausage.
No. You no.
Honestly,
believe
the way Stu said that. Is good.
You can have a sausage. Do you not think Stuart's laugh is the best?
Pete, what would you have with chips?
What would you have with sausage other than seasoning?
No, with chips. Not with sausage, with chips.
Sorry, chips.
Stu, I'm going to look you down and say this. A button roll.
Oh. Is that yours, Stu?
Bat and roll!
Bat and roll is the correct answer.
It's the cheapest thing on the menu.
I tell you what,
bat and roll, ketchup, chips, the chips have been vinegar and salt, it's bat and roll.
I think, how dare you?
How dare you?
You know what? In this time of
you've just strolled into your Margate chip shop.
Yeah.
And you've just gone, you've noticed that there's cooker sign on the menu, right? Yeah. What have you gone for?
Do you know what I like?
It's a chippy dinner. What are you going for, man?
Fucking
caviar. Do you know what I want to know?
I covered a big old fart.
How small a life you live, David, when you've just covered up a fart and you've proudly told us about it.
Thank you.
Like Moriarty. how disappointing that would be for Shakespeare.
Hold up.
I just expect more from you.
I covered it up with the word caviar. Makes it different, doesn't it?
Jokes on us. When I walk in a chippy...
What was the last thing you got in a chip shop?
You know what I look at? They're jars. If you walk in a chippy and they've got jars...
Or eggs and onions.
What have you got pickled, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Have you got onions? Okay.
Sea level.
Have you got gherkins? Honestly,
you've been pickling, bruv.
If you haven't got gherkins, I'm petrol bombing later. What I want to see is pickled eggs.
I'll pickle you in a minute.
I'm shirking gherkins, son. What you got?
Yeah. Right. Next question. Tay Cold, MMA and UFC. We've covered that. Alexander J. Blanche. If you had to choose to live in a world without the Beastie Boys or a world without Limp Bizkit, why is it time to keep rolling?
What a fucking question. What a question.
I have had so much fun to Limp Bizkit.
Obviously, the easy answer is Beastie Boys, but Limp Bizkit would be a lot of fun.
The Beastie Boys anthology is a reason to come every day, but...
Wasn't expecting that end of the sentence.
That's not a review that you could pop on the anthology now, but you know what? I watched that Woodstock documentary is kind of fascinating
and
terrifying and sad. And when you see the crowd at, because I knew what happened, but I'd never seen it when Limp Bizkit came.
Mate, imagine watching it with two nurses placing your own hairs into holes in your head. Mm. When it gets onto the fucking horrible stories of rape and other horrible things, I was like,
that in the fucking
fuck, do I turn over?
That in
the fat boy bit.
Yeah, the fat boy slim thing is so beyond terrible.
Have you heard Fat Boy and Hardcore Listings on off the beaten track?
Norman Cook.
Yeah.
It's
great,
isn't
he?
Cook. He's the best. Like, he couldn't understand what you said.
Who'd you mean?
When you said his BJ name.
That was quite cunty, sorry. That sounded way cunty.
Sorry, fat boy who? Do you mean Norm Skin?
Sorry, did you mean Freak Power? Sorry, Pizza Man. Sorry, Hass Martin. Sorry.
Shout out to Ashley Slater. That guy is a nice guy.
It is
so bad. And I heard the PR response.
I think Limp Bizkit are innocent in that.
Do you know what? Weirdly, we're going to disagree.
Because you booked them. Like they play break stuff and everyone fucks things up. You booked Limp Bizkit. That's the point.
It was terrible booking.
They can't do that song and go, but seriously, everyone chill out.
It's a terrible booking strategy.
It's like booking Onyx and saying, but seriously, don't back the fuck up. Please don't back the fuck up.
Oh my God. What would be... So for me, like, that promoter was a fucking
douche, by the way.
And the geezer
that done the first Woodstock was a douche to let him be a douche.
Yeah, but also, I think once you've done something like
You're a douche. Good douche.
Come on, guys.
Good douche.
Bad douche.
We're not talking about the biggest... Listen... If you've just done that, I think you start putting your faith in people.
You can't be taken seriously while your hat's sitting like that.
It's episode 5 of the Drunk Cast, baby. That's not good on audio. That's not good on audio.
It doesn't work.
I tell you what.
You look like you've just had 4 jacket potatoes, Brian Harvey. Like, sort your hat out.
Genuinely. Number one. Brian Harvey Potatoes Bantz is dead. Number two, I reckon me and Chris are walking home and I'm picking up my recording gear tomorrow.
Plus, I point out, you just turned your cat round. Now you look like Terry from fucking E70. Circa 97.
I think we all take it. Right, stop. Take a deep breath.
Deep.
If you're listening still, take a deep breath. I'm watching myself in the mirror of a...
I don't know what's happening anymore.
No,
you got
idea.
Questions.
So, Dano James 1 says, stand up ass wiping or sit down ass wiping. Scroobius Pip says, this was actually disgusting. That this was actually discussed in great detail on the unreleasable Drunkcast.
Dano James says,
any chance of a revisit? It's content that we all needed. Scroobius Pip says, without commenting, no chance of a revisit.
Stop
on to the
Scroobius
next question.
Pip says.
Nelly, again, another one from Vanessa. What's
if you're
your
unaware
current
me...
go-to swear word and insult? Oh. I really enjoyed Stu texting me some... Viewer, listener.
Shove off.
High-five
that.
I was really pleased.
It was so old school.
I messaged you saying,
and then you went,
shove off.
And then you just messaged me, shove, then off, when I sent you another one. And it was really, like, that's so good.
I was really pleased with shove off. Yeah, I've not thought of that in a long time.
Great callback. Just to
clarify, I was annoyed that I posted this to get questions in, then Stu reposted it on about four different platforms, like, as if we're going to go through fucking all the platforms about this. So I said, shove off. So I will say, Vanessa Ellis, my current favourite swear word or insult is shove off. Chris, Stu, it's over to you.
My go-to, when I've had a if I kick me little toe... It's always my go-to, mother's minge.
Mother, what, when you kick your toe?
Mother's minge.
That's really good. I feel like my swear words are so much more boring.
Or minge holes.
Minge holes?
Yeah.
Mm.
Always the word minge. Which is a great word, by the way.
Have you ever called anyone silly?
Oh, to me, if somebody went to me, you fucking idiot.
Mm.
Or you stupid cunt. Mm. If someone went to me, you silly Billy, I'd be more offended by that.
Exactly. Because I think the rarity of the word is what's more fun.
And also it's detrimental to
your
intelligence, isn't it?
I called someone, oh, don't say that, silly. And I said it, honestly, in a... I thought the intent was funny and jovial. It was not red.
Understood why, like, high-level fighters on a stare down on a press conference don't call someone a silly sausage.
I think the rarity of the word,
Wally.
I think cunt
Tit.
And, oi, watch out. Oi, you know what? I really hate the word moist. You know, when people just don't like words now. They don't
the
word moist. Your mum's got really... Moist. Do you know what? Your mum's knickers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even say.
Nope.
I'm not going to switch it.
Let's
mum.
Move on.
Keep going.
They're sodden.
Or maybe not.
They're sodden.
No, maybe not keep going.
Oh, they're sodden.
Where it goes.
I was going to say.
Sodden. They're also almost not moist. They're mossy. They are beyond moist.
Your mum's moss ridden muff.
My mum's frothy, mossy, pissy.
Mm-hmm. Very familiar. Go on.
It tastes bitter. It tastes real bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But so
like
does
tonic water.
But also so does a 2p coin in my mouth. And that's how
it's like looking a battery. It's not nice.
Can we release this? I think we can release this, can't we?
What, eat my own mum's pussy? I mean, like, we can.
I've released it once or twice.
What's the next question, Pip?
This is anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
If myself and the rest of the bastard squad, that's the police
arrested
you
reminder.
With no explanation, what would your friends and family assume had done? Don't say... I said it's anonymous! I said it's... I actively said it's anonymous. I know who it's from.
I sent it to him on our group.
Oh, me, sorry.
I love the fact that you thought you was a copper and you solved that crime.
So, if an anonymous police officer arrested any of us, a game I've regularly played with Stu Turl is who of our friend group would you be least, no, I can't say it, would you be least surprised to find out was arrested for
a crime?
A crime, but then we'd specify the crime. But yeah, so what would your friends and family assume you'd been arrested
banged up for?
Me, Richard Herring, and Adam Buxton did a podcast recently, and the second half of it is so much. I recorded for Buddy, and he can use it. He will have used it then. I recorded for Buddy, me saying, redacted.
Redacted.
In so many different tones, because we had to redact so many names.
Can I ask a massive favour to Buddy Peace when he edits this?
Nah.
Whenever you edit stuff, can you add the bullseye?
Yeah, that'd be great.
When one of us says something really offensive.
Yeah. I'd love it if Buddy had done that already and people are confused and now it makes sense. Yeah, that's the payoff. Yeah. So, no, Buddy, if you can go back into the pod... Oh, yeah.
No one's listened to this far unless their profession is painting and they're just sat there painting.
I mean, if they've listened this far, they're getting a rare Redshift and Scroobius.
They really... Oh, that's beyond rare. That is so insanely rare.
Don't do the teeth, Stu. Do it. So,
Stu's face is so sexy. I would bang the life out of his
face. Thank you for noticing.
What was the question?
If you were arrested, what would your friends and family assume you were arrested for? Shall we answer on behalf of each other?
Yeah. That's better.
Good chat.
What a clever Kellogg cornflake.
Who am I answering for?
Me for you, you for Chris for me.
Okay.
You start them.
For you, I'd assume it was some kind of tax avoidance.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought HMRC's on this cunt.
You've been doing club nights for so long, Stu. I don't trust you.
Whenever Stu gets into bed... There's not a feather that puffs out. It's a £5 note.
Fucking hell. I can't believe you see me like that.
That just came out of nowhere as well. I started that sentence and I didn't know the end. And then I very much knew the end.
Man. Oh, my God. Fraud.
God damn it.
Some kind of tax avoidance. I think we could all agree that in Essex, you're brought up to think tax is bad. And then when you grow up, hopefully, you realise tax is good, right?
It supports
the
NHS. Sure.
Admittedly, the government at the moment is shit, but tax is positive because of the
one of my dad's main thing is don't fuck HMRC.
Yeah, I agree. And for a long period, I didn't because we're brought up to be, oh, there's cash in hand, there's bits, because we're poor, fucking...
Never fuck HMRC,
but
mate.
But it's more important they for those
will,
who
they
are
They will have the like, whether or not, right... You have a moral thought on whether that's good or bad. Don't fuck HMRC, mate.
Stu, what do you think Chris would be? If Chris was arrested, what would your first thought be?
I don't want to say it.
That's proper honest. I said I started that sentence. I didn't know tax avoidance.
Just say it and I'll back my way out of it like a badly parked truck.
It doesn't mean you think they've done this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. In which case, sexual predator.
Yes.
Sex crimes are always up there. He probably didn't mean to.
He had a drink.
If I was going to...
Yes, he was wanking, but he wasn't wanking over them.
They happened to
be there. It's a coincidence.
Also...
If anything, they interrupted his
wanking. Also, I bought a flat now. I can wank wherever I want. Leon C, Westcliff. There's always beachfront properties. I can wank wherever I want.
Absolutely.
Chris.
I don't think I'd ever get done for a sex offence.
We discussed on a recent Hardcore Listing Patreon episode of where you've wanked publicly.
Yeah.
That was an eye-opener, that one.
I've pulled over before to have a wank, and I've wanked in airplanes.
But why?
So they're possibly arrestable.
Yeah, but...
because they're like, public places.
Like, I think that's all right, man. I think danger wanks. If you know me long enough, by the way, a pair of you have phoned me while I've been wanking. Honestly, at least twice.
Stu's rung me while I've been wanking before, and shitting.
Do you know
and
what?
Normally at the end of the call, I'm shitting. At the end of the call, I never say I'm wanking.
It upsets Stu to know that, but Mark Irvine knows for a fact. You all caught me.
Oh, you know Mark.
Red-handed wanking.
You know Mark well enough to not pause the porn.
No, he knows that too, man.
Hello, mate. Ignore the background noise.
Yeah. What's the high
Shut
level?
Shut me back, bruv.
Mate, we were.
What are the high level questions?
Chris, we were going to talk about Twitch. The only thing we're going to touch on Twitch is the amount of people I've watched on Twitch whilst also. Like, I've had Twitch on my iPad and I've had porn on my phone and I'm having a little go.
Good for you,
people,
mate.
People don't need to know this, but it's happened.
Don't applaud that.
No, why not? Why the fuck not? I think there's such a weird relationship with pornography, and I think I have a unhealthy relationship.
Right, there we go.
Unhealthy relationship.
You know what? Me and Spencer Kite talked about it recently on this MMA podcast because I did a post about people who've got OnlyFans, Fansly, Admire Me, and how in January it's a dry month for those in the sex work industry. Mm. And I don't think it should be taboo. I've got accounts as a user on all of those sites. I've supported people. So
oh,
I did
such a hero.
I've wanted to wank. I've wanted to have a dirty wank. So I did a tweet about that.
Yeah.
Kind of saying, why is it so taboo? Because I can look at you both in the eye and say, you've both wanked and watched porn before. So why should it be taboo to talk about this and pay? Anyway, Chris, what would you...
She's pulling
if I was arrested, what would you think I was...
For
what
being,
would you assume I'd
for
been
being boring
for?
As shit.
That's not a crime.
All right, okay. All right, a real arrest.
Oh, man, it's embarrassing how much I'm hoping it's political at this point. Fucking nerd.
It will be something boring.
No, it won't. No, it won't. The funny thing with...
Pip, we're at work.
Pip, sorry, buddy, can you beep that out with...
can you redact my name with the sound of bully from Bullseye?
Yeah, please. Or...
in one. Get yourself in a spin with this washer dryer.
I think the problem with being too smart is you get yourself in too deep.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get yourself into political corruption. But I don't think you'd catch... Once you get into that, I don't think you... Why are you pushing your drink, towards me?
Answer the question, Chris.
I think you would get guilty of... I think you're too sneaky to get caught.
Yeah, I think if
you
you're
got,
right.
So I think if you got caught out, I think you're more of a dharma than anyone. Like I think your brother, I personally think your brother is smarter than you, which would upset you more.
Mm-hmm.
So
your
brother,
definitely.
I think your brother would eat 30 or 40 or 50 people. And in the mate. Desperation to beat him, you'd get caught.
Yeah. I watched
it. And you'd have like 40 people on your belt, like Harry has, 25 Afghanis.
You'd be like, oh, and the police will pull you over and go, right, David, we'd like to talk to you about this.
Please.
In one. And you'd be like, oh, no, hang on a minute. I would like to explain to you. And then they go, psh, and they just smash your headlight with a fucking nightstick. And you'd be like, oh, hang on a minute. I don't think you quite understand. Psh, do your other one. And then you'd be like, well, let me just explain to you now that the actions that you've just done now, psh, and they've got you, and they're literally doing you across the back of the legs. And before you know it,
No, check out my brother Ian. By the way, Ian is eating his way through fucking Korea. Ian's got lampshades. When he
sorry, lampshades. Sorry, I'm just picturing Ian with his hands both sides with a lampshade on his head.
Finally got him. Because of his show off poet brother.
Mate, Jerry, you've nailed it there. The heartbreak I would have not to be caught, but to have made my brother get caught.
Yeah, you fucking nailed that on me. Ian Meads.
Oh, the thought of Ian Meads with a lampshade on his head just fucking destroyed me.
Intelligent cannibal would film sounds in Pitsy and eat the muffs of unknowing strangers. Yeah.
I watched a film on New Year's Eve called Norte, N-O-R-T-E, and it troubled me a little bit because Ian
recommended. Oh, you can't pull it back with a statement like that, you cunt.
No, it troubled me because it's about.
Hey man, if you've ever listened to anything you've heard from Pip, and then you heard him say he watched a film called Norte. No. You silly cunt.
I'm going to explain. It troubled me because it was about a philosopher deciding the only solution is to start killing people. And I was like, my brother recommended this, and I can completely see it takes some twists and turns. But I was like, this is Ian saying, I'm going to start killing people next year. By the way, here's what my beliefs are. And yeah, anyway, genuinely, I think at 12:15 on a Wednesday, genuinely think that me and Chris are walking home.
No,
I've come to peace with that. I don't reckon we'll find one.
And we will get one because we will get some.
Matt Douche.
Yeah.
That guy from proper serious.
We know Matt.
We've established Matt. There are no guilty pleasures, but what's a song from the last year you're hot on that on paper isn't normally your jam?
Matt's problem is that he thinks we're under.
Matt has asked multiple questions, so we can move on. Okay, I read that one and thought, neither of you are prepared for that. You're not good.
I'm not prepared for a song that was.
This year I got Sam Fender wrong.
What did he release this year? Did you just do a cheeky pop?
I did a fart in response.
Scooby just did a cheeky pop.
I thought he was a bit of a Radio 2 Wally.
You got proper into him, I remember.
And then I heard 17 Going Under and I was like, oh, that's good.
Oh, mate, so Molly has to turn off Spit of You and 17 Going Under because they make me cry. And it's not because of anything because of the media. Mm-hmm. There's something in those lyrics that honestly... rips me to pieces.
But, as a DJ, when you watch kids go, I was far too scared to hit him, but I'd hit him in a heartbeat now, and they scream that line, I'd hit him in a heartbeat now, as much as we laugh about and we joke about how important bullet in the head, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
I think it's just, amazing.
It's their song.
It's so good.
It's their song. Yeah. I was far too scared to hit him, But I hit him in a heartbeat now. That's their fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. That's their bullet in the head. That's their fucking teen spirit.
It's fucking powerful.
And
man.
It is, of course it is.
That's such
and
a
it,
good
And it really
contrast.
Is. I sit in the club and like, and there's all these kids that are not grungers wearing grunger shit like when it was... They're just kids that just like music, that like a bit of everything. But when that song comes on, they all just go, hey! And they have a little dance. I was far too scared of him. And they all scream, I'd hit him in a heartbeat now. And it's like, however much you look at that and generalise that, that's that little bit of angst.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
That's fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Yeah. That's like, I wish I would have just smacked you around the chops then.
I think when I heard it, and honestly, Molly knows that I like it and we drive a lot. And she'll play it up.
Someone's
and
doing
she'll,
well.
She'll know, you know, we drive a lot, you know, waste a lot of gas.
Fuel prices are up, but we drive a lot. Fucking, it's all going well.
But it really digs into me. I'm a 42-year-old dude.
Loser.
Sorry. But I think the construction of those lyrics is genius because even at my age, I thought that's so.
We're sitting in a room with someone that writes really smart fucking words, right?
Who? Like, you know,
no, honestly, seriously, like, I wrote a song.
You've heard serious problem,
I know,
right?
I know. All right. Okay.
Like, take that accounts.
Dog shit was a fucking seminal piece of work, right? Yeah. No, but we were in a room with someone that writes really fucking smart things, right? But "fuck you, I won't do what you tell me" is not the smartest lyric ever written. Mm. And I was far too scared to hit him, and I hit him in Heartbeat Now. He's not the smartest lyric ever written. But if you can tap in to that fucking moment and that feeling, that's
I completely agree.
I completely agree.
Can I just say, Pip? No, no, you're going to say something really boring.
Yeah. I've got two things to say that are really boring. It's fucking depressing.
I'm depressed.
Sometimes the smartest things that
Chris,
you say.
Chris, you're my mum. Go and have a dance. It's all right. You don't have to hold back for me. Go on.
Sometimes the simplest things you say, they might sound simple. That there was complex thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think lyrics are the same thing. I think actually you, I want to say your name, but I'm going to say Pip for buddy's fucking sake.
Ow.
Mm-hmm. Me. Buddy Peace.
You bleep all
Buddy
of them out.
Peace.
I think you're really smart.
I think you're an incredible writer, but also, and some of your things that stuck with people mm-hmm. are the most simplistically said, but most intelligently thought things. I'm so scared to hit him, but I'd hit him in a heartbeat now. It's so easy to say. But there's so much emotion, so much complexity in that thought. Like, all of us think that, especially looking back and reflecting. It kills you to think about the people you should fucking spank in the mouth. I was bullied, I should have punched people in the face at school. Also, by the way, I was a black belt. I don't know if I ever told you about that. I was a black belt at that point. And there was one time when a guy who was considered hard swung at me. I blocked it. And I backfisted him. You know what I did? I blocked it and I went like that to prove that I'd mm-hmm. scored the point. I proved that I could kill him, mm-hmm. kill him, but I could beat him. And no one knew. Everyone went, "Oh, why? Oh, he swung at you and you didn't punch." And it's because, I thought something different. Anyway, I've got detracted. I thought Sam Fender's lyrics there were ace.
And there's a couple of things.
What were your points?
Sorry. My 2 points were, number one, a song I played to you after we'd recorded an episode of our podcast, and I was talking about self-esteem. This has been a fucking self-esteem heavy drunk cast. But when self-esteem was touring, I didn't go and see self-esteem because I couldn't handle emotionally being in the crowd for a particular song. And Chris has said a certain thing that can come up. I'm going to see if I can just skip ahead on it. It's on a song called "I'm Fine." I'm going to skip to the end. And it's just a recording of a... Hang on. Let me see. I can't work my phone. Hang on. I think it's an amazing song, but there's a bit at the end that is just a recording of girls, of women talking, and it destroyed me. Hang on. And then this bit destroys me. And Chris, we didn't get to talk about it, but you talked about that documentary about what women have to go through on a drunk night out. And that song, it fucking destroys me because I know that at that gig, they're going to play that bit that says that this girl and her friends bark like dogs to scare off men because there's nothing that scares a man more. I'm getting all emotional, guys. And then a woman who's completely deranged. I was like, I can't be in the crowd for that because I know there will be a huge percentage of that audience who will bark along and fucking feel so terrified of guys, of men, of that situation. It's fucking... That kind of thing destroys me. And also... the other thing I was going to say, I'll get myself together now, is this has been a big year for me for finding poetry in pop. And it's not new things that have come out this year, but things like Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus have blown me away this year. There's other... We Found Love in a Hopeless Place by Rihanna. Again, I love finding those bits of poetry in fucking pop songs, but things like that, man. That, oh, shit, I'm playing it again. I didn't mean to do that.
I've never heard that.
It's fucking... It destroys me, man, because it's fucking true, and it's... I was invited because I was introduced to her self-esteem by her PR people. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a listen. And I was driving home one night and I downloaded the album and I didn't know I had it on shuffle. So that's the opening song on the album. It's called I'm Fine. I think it's as perfect as a song has been written. And I was driving home from Margate and that song came on about fifth or sixth song and it fucking floored me.
Yeah.
And that bit at the end just floored me. And having known, again, having women who are close to me now and have been close to me in the past, things like that, I was like, I was then, because of the PR people, invited to a self-esteem's tour. And I was like, can't handle it, man. I can't be in a crowd when an arena or a venue or whatever full of women. I'm getting on emotional. All howl at that because of that point, because of what women have to do to deal with men in our society. It's fucking, it's such powerful writing, man. I think it's next level. And that whole song is about the abuse experienced by a self-esteem in the music industry. And I gigged with
it's not just
the woman
industry.
Who became it's self-esteem not, in the early
no,
days.
It's not, no, no. It's just, I've got
a weird turn to take.
20 and fucking
again,
17,
that's
mate.
It. I think
and
of all my mates have
nice.
Got daughters. I think of my nieces, I think of all of these things and it fucking destroys me. And I said, I was invited along to gigs that would have been amazing gigs of an album I loved. And I was like, no, man, I can't be in a crowd in that moment because it will destroy me. And we've talked before on this Songs That Make Us Cry about Everlong, about being
at
Reading,
yeah,
hearing
yeah.
that and thinking of our mate who died. And I was like, fuck, I don't even, at that point in particular, I don't even know self-esteem. But that song and that lyric and that story at the end of that song is fucking, it's fucking beautiful. I love that shit.
Yeah,
and although I'm getting emotional, I love it.
No, it's all right.
You know what I mean? I'm struggling to get my words up. I think it's the most beautiful thing.
No, that's right, man. You're crying and it's embarrassing for all of us. It's really embarrassing. But I think it took me so long to really understand it, and I think my opening up to this was my mate Kat, who is the funniest one of the Kat Harrop is one of the most funny people I've ever met. Really great storyteller and human being, and she explained the experience of having water thrown over her in a white t-shirt. Walk into work, and she was a very high functioning fashion designer, and she had to show up to work in a like basically wet t-shirt competition for her behaviour. And as a bloke, I mean, you guys know how lethal I am, right?
Fucking
right?
Lethal.
How deadly I am.
Black
right?
belt.
No one can ever turn a hand to me because I kill them. But as a weak female.
When we're walking home, I'm going to fuck you up and leave you in a bush. Son.
But jokes aside, I didn't really, as a meek dude, I didn't really understand a lot of concepts that sometimes people would say to me. And then Kat and many girls would say, imagine you're in this situation or imagine you're here. And I, you know what was embarrassing? I'd never imagined any of that. I'd never imagined just being me.
Completely.
I would have spoken
of understanding, but not actually put myself there.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly understand myself in a situation where, you know, I felt bad, but I wouldn't feel ultimately vulnerable. I just think, like, as a youngster, I didn't have that grasp of what men will do in a group to a girl.
I remember the...
And I have been in that situation where guys will wolf whistle. And I've never wolf whistled. And I will say, because I couldn't.
Isn't it embarrassing? Isn't it ugly that we need personal experience of these things? I remember the first time I babysat my niece, who's black, and I looked at this little baby, this perfect little baby, and that was the first time. I'd always been anti-racism, obviously, but that was the first time I was fucking furious about the idea of anyone speaking against this perfect little child. And it was because I had personal experience of it. And it's mad that it takes that. It's one thing to have been, oh, I'm not racist, I'm anti-racist, I'm not racist. But that, I remember that so clearly, babysitting my niece and nephew. My nephew was older, but my little niece was this tiny little perfect kid. And I'm thinking, this kid is going to grow up because of the country they're in and experience at some point racism and abuse and sexism. And it fucking hit me to my fucking core. And looking back now, it disgusts me a bit in that moment. That it's like, oh, it took this personal experience to do this. Yeah. I'd always had that kind of, oh, I don't like racists. But it takes that personal experience to do that. And that's fucking shit, man.
That's the thing. So many people in our society don't have that personal experience.
I never
thought I was racist. But I was never racist. But I definitely think that I had some kind of degree of lacking an insight into what it was like to be a girl in our life, when we were like from 19 to 25, even now, terrifying.
How do you have a conversation with your daughter where she says...
Your daughter, if I'm having a conversation, Jesus Christ.
Well, just quickly, all of this that we're talking about, that is white male privilege. Yeah. And what people get confused about the terms male privilege or white privilege is that it means you've got no problems or you're rich. Yeah. All it means is you've not got certain problems that other races or genders don't have.
Also,
and it's walking home. Like me and you may be walking home tonight on the side of a motorway. Are we going to feel all right? Are we going to be relatively safe? Mm. And women may not have that safety or that feeling. And we're going to walk home in an area of Essex that is where Nigel Farage or Nick Griffin came to after he came out of fucking hiding after being egged. This is the area he came to. If we were not white, we might not feel so safe walking home on the side of a motorway. And that's what white privilege is. That's what male privilege is. It's not about being wealthy or rich or having those struggles in your life. It's about not having the same struggles that others have based purely on their gender or fucking race. And I feel like I've ruined the end of the drunk cast.
Shithole. We live in a shithole. Simple as that.
Shall we wrap things up and take a couple of fucking
Have you got any more questions that are fun?
I think
that's the end of the questions, mate.
Jesus Christ, Matt
Douche asked about fucking 10 more, but fucking hell, shut up, mate. I'm kidding.
Mate, you could definitely beat up Pip.
I think that's where we end. It's 90 minutes into the last episode. There's a lot of people who won't got to this, but I can look at both of you in the eye and see we've got tears in our eyes because of this conversation.
I don't, only because...
And I fucking love that.
Yeah, I
think that's a good end to the podcast.
Yeah, it's a really good end.
Mate, it's been a minute, right?
It's the most hot minute. I've ever been.
You got tears in your eyes, Stu. This one.
That one.
Gentlemen, it's
been a little drinky fucking drunk cast.
It was really good fun.
This is going to be the end of a lot of people's dry January.
Yeah,
so it's going to be the end of the January.
Crazy,
so people
goddamn
can
kids.
Do you know enter what? Into sobriety with us being drunk wankers.
Do you know what? Sobriety is a wonderful thing. But do you know what? If you've had a rubbish day and you think having a pint or a glass of wine is going to make you feel better,
crack cocaine.
Fast track it to crack cocaine. Christopher Glasson, people.
All right, Rabsy Nesbitt. Have a good night, everyone. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go.
God. I mean, that all got a bit dramatic there, didn't it? Did that not get a bit dramatic there? Is that a bit over the top? We'd had a few drinks, mates. We'd had a few drinks. Who would have predicted that the end of year drunk cast would end with three blokes drunk in a shed, listening to Self-Esteem and crying about how hard the world is for women? Genuinely, genuinely upset. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been the end of year drunk cast. I love it every year. I love these boys. I love Christopher Glasson. I love Stuart Whiffin. I love Hardcore Listing. I love Off the Beaten Track. I love you lot for listening. You're beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, I'll be back next week. I don't know what's happening. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.